Yes, that is right. I'm sure all of you are working for the weekend. I am too, as a matter of fact. Hello, everybody. I'm John Zagluel. This is Sports Talk Chicago, and this is our fourth podcast. And we do have a lot to get to today. And our top cover story that we are going to cover this today, actually, involves Ozzie Smith, the former baseball great, and his plan to make opening day a national holiday. But first, we do have a quick announcement here. Keep in mind, Sports Talk Chicago is on Twitter. You can follow us at Chi Talk Sports, at CHI Talk Sports on Twitter. We have over 200 followers to date. And I just want to let you know, too, a little personal news. Me, John Zagluel, I just got my first article published in the Tinley Junction newspaper. So if you do get a chance, please check it out. And our first order of business today will be, as I'm sure you have heard, Ozzie Smith and his plans to make opening day a national holiday. He actually has an opportunity to do this. You could go on his petition on the government's website, and if he could get 100,000 signatures by the end of next month, as I'm reading here, by the end of next month, he could have that passed up to President Obama, who could end up signing off on that, making it an official national holiday. Now, I don't know what you think about this. This is a very interesting topic of conversation, and I intend to post an article on this later in the week up on the website so you could view my real opinion on it. But I want to say a few now. I mean, to be honest with you, I am a full supporter of it. And, you know, I really believe this is a good idea, and it could work out. As Smith was saying, he had some statistics that are really startling. Over 50 million people skip work already to go to opening day games. And keep in mind, it's a big deal as a baseball fan. I mean, as a kid too, you know, I go to school. I always miss out on the Cubs and the Sox and their opening day games. I'm always disappointed by it because usually those games are scheduled in the afternoon. And when I come home from school, it's usually too late. I'll catch maybe the eighth inning if I'm lucky. So it would be nice to really get a day off from school, sit at home, you know, watch the new game, or even go to the game. I can, you know, now with me off, I could actually make up, you know, the possibility of buying tickets and actually going out to the ballpark viewing on opening day. I don't know what your opinion is on this. You could always comment on this podcast or shoot me an email, info@sportstalkchicago.com, or make a comment. I do respond to most comments unless, you know, they're a little hateful, but I would love to hear your opinion on this because this is a great topic of discussion. And as far as I know, I am all for this idea. So now we're going to move on to some Chicago Cubs news. And now we're going to start off here by talking about Kouji Fujikawa. And there is a little article here on Cubs.com, and I'm very happy to see it. Fujikawa is now throwing. I'm very excited to see him pitch. I'm sure you all remember last year, very highly touted. I was excited to see him. He pitched on opening day. He got himself into a bit of a jam, but ended up actually getting out of it. He was a closer at one point when the Cubs demoted Carlos Marmol, but then he ended up getting Tommy John surgery, and now he is playing some light catch, and he's going to take it day by day. So it's good to hear that about him. Always nice to hear some positive news. Tomorrow, the Cubs do have their first spring training game at Cubs Park. It's at 2:05 Central Time. It's going to be a split squad game against the Diamondbacks. Both games are against the Diamondbacks. And if you're not familiar with what split squad means, it basically means that half of the team will face half of the Diamondbacks team, and the other half of the team will face the other half of the Diamondbacks team. And that goes on tomorrow. The starting matchup there is Bronson Arroyo for the Diamondbacks and Jeff Samardzija for the Cubs. The Cubs on Friday will end up facing the Angels at Tempe Diablo Stadium. That'll be Jared Weaver and Chris Rusin. And on March 1st, it's going to be at Cubs Park. Travis Wood and the Cubs are going to take on the San Francisco Giants. Sorry about that. And there is no word on who will be starting that game. So I am, as you all know, and I'm sure you are as well, very excited about this Cubs season. Should be a great year. And you know what? I'm just excited to see how Renteria does. I know, you know what, when I heard that the Cubs were going to be interviewing Renteria, My hopes shot up, okay? This guy, a great bench coach there in San Diego. Him and Bud Black really did well over there. And Renteria also, he is, he could actually talk Spanish, so he could, you know, really build up some chemistry with some of these Spanish-speaking players. He could always, you know, talk to them in their home language. That'll always help. And as for the Cubs, too, Jose Varas is setting in. He's supposed to be the closer, so there are a lot of good things happening. Although the Cubs probably will not make it back to the playoffs this year, they are moving in the right direction, and I'm very excited to see what they can do. Another baseball news, there will be a new rule now on home plate collisions put into effect. It's going to be on an experimental basis in this year. I'll read what it says here. An experimental rule, 7.13, intended to increase player safety by eliminating egregious collisions at home plate, and it was jointly announced by Major League Baseball and the MLBPA. So here are the highlights of the rule. Pay close attention to these, because you can always relate to these in a game when an umpire screws up. Now, a runner may not run out of a direct line to the plate in order to initiate contact with the catcher or any player covering the plate. If he does, the umpire can't call him out even if the player taking the throw loses possession of the ball. The catcher may not block the pathway of a runner attempting to score unless he, in fact, has possession of the ball. If the catcher blocks the runner before he has the ball, the umpire may call the runner safe. Keep in mind now, this is a big highlight here. All calls will be based on the umpire's judgment. The umpire will consider such factors as whether the runner made an effort to touch the plate and whether he lowered his shoulder or used his hands, elbows, or arms when approaching the catcher. Runners are not required to slide, and catchers in possession of the ball are allowed to block the plate. However, runners who do slide and catchers who provide the runner with a lane will never be found in violation of the rule. Now, the expanded instant replay rules, which also go into effect this season, will be available to review potential violations of Rule 7.13. Now, this is just going to add some more, I don't know, just more complications, especially to a manager's thinking here. You've got that expanded replay rule, and everybody's in favor of it. I love it. I think it's a great idea. You know, we're bringing the elements of football and basketball now into the sport of baseball, America's most popular sport next to football. And it's going to be tough for the managers to use that challenge on a simple play at home plate. That's going to be the only problem with me. And when you think about the umpire judging it, he's a human being, all right? He's not going to be perfect all the time. So, for instance, let's put it this way. It's a seventh inning. The manager already used the one challenge. It's a tie ball game. The runner comes in. The umpire calls him out for hitting the catcher. And you know it's wrong. But since the manager got that first challenge wrong, he's not going to get another challenge. It's going to make it difficult. And you know what? Challenges are always nice. It's a nice way... in baseball to have a hard challenge, have something tough for a manager to do. But keep in mind, umpires are not perfect. You've seen it before. That's why there is an expanded instant replay rule. And I am a little skeptical at this, but you know what? I'd rather see it implemented it's an experimental thing. Keep in mind, if this rule just totally blows up and backfires, the MLBPA and MLB could take it down after this year's 2014 season. We're going to move on now to the White Sox, who have been doing well this spring training so far. Now, keep in mind, the White Sox actually made a transaction. They apparently took a flyer on a flame-throwing right-hander. They claimed Michael Clayto off waivers from the Royals, and they designated Jake Elmore for assignment. Clayto went 3-5 with a 5.52 ERA and 89 strikeouts in 35 games last year. In AAA between the Cardinals and the Royals, he has appeared in 13 major league games over three seasons. Now, his problem is, he is great overpowering fastball, but apparently, he has averaged 7.3 walks per 9 innings last year, and, you know, that's not really good. But you know what? Don Cooper's a great pitching coach, and I believe that as long as people listen to him, they will be taught the right way. Cooper's a great guy. So I'm hoping, you know, Clayto could be, you know, a big mainstay, especially in the White Sox bullpen. Now, another part here, Konerko taking starter's mindset into a part-time role. Keep in mind, Paul Konerko will not be starting this year. He will be a part-timer. He's probably going to be rotating between first base and DH. And you know what? That's okay. And I think for him, it's good right now. This is going to be his last year. I think for him right now, he just sort of has to enjoy it, kick back. He's probably going to end up playing only 80 to 100 games. I don't expect him playing more than 120 games this year. So we'll see how Konerko does in limited time, hopefully. And, you know, I'd like to really see this out of him. I mean, this has added years on, possibly be a good pinch hitter. You know, Jim Thome still hasn't officially retired. He's been around in the league for the past 4 or 5 years now, just coming off the bench, picking up a bat, and hitting a home run out of the blue. So it'd be nice to see if Konerko could actually embrace that part of him here, and he could actually extend his career a few more years. And Abreu, the new first baseman, Jose Abreu, actually looks comfortable in a game situation. He had an inter-squad game on Tuesday. He picked up an infield hit, and he had a good start, apparently, to everybody. Everybody on the White Sox team, whether it's staff, whether it's players, they're all very excited about Abreu, and to be honest with you, I am too. This guy is going to be something else as long as he follows what he's supposed to be doing. I mean, this is a guy you could see him be hitting 30, 35 homers a year and getting 100 or more RBIs, and that's just crazy talk right there. And to think that he's going to be replacing Paul Konerko, that Sox have got to be putting a lot of trust into this kid, and I really hope that he could actually do well. And one other side note, this is concerning Adam Dunn. He's actually going to be at the Oscars on Sunday night, so look in the crowd to see him. He's an investor in his friend Joe Newcomb's company, which produced Dallas Buyers Club, the movie that ended up with 6 Oscar nominations, including one of the 9 for Best Picture nominees, and Matthew McConaughey for Best Actor in a Leading Role, Jared Leto for Best Actor in a Supporting Role. So Don also was actually in the movie. He was a small part as a bartender, Nettie J. So he's actually going to be there. So just another fun side note, look in the audience because you may see Adam Dunn, your hometown boy, over there. Alright, we're going to move on now to some Chicago Bulls news. I'm sure you saw the game yesterday. They won in a close one, 107-103. They beat the Atlanta Hawks last night, and that just keeps moving them up in those playoff standings. I'm very excited to say that the Bulls are contending for that coveted number 3 spot. And I'd really like to see them actually pull it off because they would end up facing that 6th seed. And right now, I'm looking at the standings. They are in 4th, but they are only, let's see, this is about 1.5 games back of Toronto for that number 3 spot. And keep in mind, if the playoffs started today, the Bulls would be facing the Washington Wizards. But if the Bulls could claim that number 3 spot, they could be facing Brooklyn or Charlotte or even Atlanta again in the playoffs, and that'd work to their advantage. And just as maybe another debatable topic here, the Eastern Conference is very weak compared to the Western Conference. You got the Charlotte Bobcats as the number 7 seed at 27-30. When you go over to the Western Conference, the number 7 seed is the Dallas Mavericks, 35-23. So it's just crazy the difference. And if some of those teams in the West were actually in the East, they'd probably be the number 3 seed right now. So that's pretty funny there. But anyway, the Bulls have been just putting together a good streak lately, and now they're contending for that number 3 spot. So that's great for them. Not much on the Bulls front, but I do have 2 other pieces of news. The Bulls have signed forward Jarvis Varnado to a 10-day contract. They announced the move last Tuesday. He was a second-round draft pick by Miami in 2010. He was averaging 14.1 points and 11 rebounds for the Iowa Energy of the NBA's D-League. So now the Bulls do have 13 players on their roster. And if you were watching last night, you didn't see Jimmy Butler. He missed his second straight game with a bruised ribs. So hopefully he could recover quickly and make a speedy recovery so that way the Bulls could use him, especially now, down the stretch run. We just have one other team to cover quickly right here, and it's going to be the Chicago Bears. I know there hasn't been much about them in the news lately, but there have been some transactions made very recently. including Taylor Boggs and Derek Martin. Yes, they were both signed a one-year contract. Taylor Boggs is a center. We'll see what he does, but safety Derek Martin is a very, very big signing. He is 5'10". He's played 73 NFL games with 4 starts over the last 8 years. He's been with the Ravens, Packers, Giants, and Patriots, and now the Bears. He has recorded 66 special teams tackles, 38 stops on defense, 3 interceptions, 8 pass breakups, 1 sack, and 1 fumble recovery. Other than that, not much for the Bears this week, except there is something actually coming up soon. The free agency period begins in 13 days. That will be starting on March 11th, and the 2014 NFL Draft takes place on March 8th. I'm sure you've seen the NFL Combine going on lately, and Jadeveon Clowney leads all in the 40-yard dash. Nothing on the Blackhawks. As you know, they are just getting off Olympic break in Sochi. I don't know if you guys were watching the Olympics. I was glancing at it a couple times. And the U.S. really, you know, it's not even that they did bad. It's just that they really collapsed near the end there. Keep in mind, the U.S. scored 20 goals in their first 4 games. And in their last 2 games, they've scored nothing. They were supposed to beat Canada. They lost 1-0. Then they lose to Finland 5-0 for the bronze. I think that, you know, it was the U.S. all the way there. And they totally blew it. They flat out blew that. If you have any comments on the Sochi Olympics, whether you were there or just any Olympic game, again, comment on one of the articles or podcasts, or shoot me an email, info@sportstalkchicago.com. And now it is time for our odd sports segment. And this one, this piece of news coming out of the United Kingdom or Great Britain, whatever you want to call them, a soccer team who last tasted victory in September 2007, finally won Tunstall Town FC. They have lost 171 straight matches, and they ended up winning 2-1 just lately. So that's a great story, but wow, what a team. And we're going to move on now to our punchline of the day segment, another funny little crack here. It has to do with baseball. It's a baseball humor joke. So here's the question: why are baseball players so cool? And the answer, they always have their fans there. Oh, that is hilarious. Anyway, now we're going to move on to our announcer's call of the day segment. I'm sure you love all these last minute segments. And the announcer's call of the day, to be honest with you, is one of my favorite ones because you get to hear legendary voices behind the mic talk about a great game or a great play or something like that. And now this announcer's call you might be familiar with. Let's take you back to the Iron Bowl on November 30th, 2013, Auburn versus Alabama. I'll set the mood for you here. It's tied at 28. Alabama attempting about a 60-yard field goal here. 1 second left on the clock, and something happens here that you're never, ever, probably ever going to see again. I am never going to forget that game. Wow, just, you know, it's mesmerizing because the thing of it was the slimmest odds ever. A short field goal ended up being returned 109 yards for a touchdown to defeat Alabama. Of course, Auburn went on to the national championship, but ended up losing to Florida State. So thanks for listening, everybody. I know it's just at 20 minutes, so actually a little longer than last time. Keep in mind, I'm sorry about our special guest not coming. I don't know if he will come or not, but we are trying to get a few special analysts and guests on the show soon. Keep in mind our Twitter page still up there. Try and follow us at Shy Talk Sports. And another thing, again, we are working on our tagline, on our logo. Sorry, you know, it's a little too big, but we're trying to fix that as soon as we could. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week. I'm John Zagluel, and this is Sports Talk Chicago.